This morning, I'd like to talk to you about how to live up in a down world. How to be up in a down world. How to be up in a down world. How to be up in a down world. 1 John 4:17, the last part says, because as he is, so are we in this world. Would you lift your hands and say, as Jesus is, so am I in this world. Say it one more time. As Jesus is, so am I in this world. I don't know if you have the Message Bible, but the Message Bible says, the last part says, our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. Can you give me another scripture? Proverbs 15, 24. I don't think maybe many of you have seen the scripture before, but it's a powerful passage of scripture. Proverbs 15, 24 says, the way of life winds where? Where does it wind? Winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. Amen. So we're looking at today how to live, how to be up in a down world. Can you say amen? Now, I want you to get your pens ready, your notebooks ready. If it's your iPads, your iPhone, or your eyelids, or whatever it is. But I do want to encourage you to take notes. Amen. Write down some stuff. And I want to just begin to tell you this morning. How many of you know that we are living in a very dark and negative world? Would you agree with me? Everywhere you look, it feels like there's just doom and gloom. People tend to be somewhat very negative and cynical. You look around and businesses are shutting down, divorces rampant, suicides are on the increase. When you turn the news on, Sky News or CNN or whatever other news it is, it's bad news. It's full of terrorism. If it's not terrorism, it's wars. If it's not wars, it's killings. If it's not killings, it's something else bad. And then to top it all, it's almost like as if World War III is looming in the background. And any day now, Mr. Rocket Man himself, Kim Jong-un, is going to drop the atomic bomb, all right? And so what I'm trying to say is that it's very easy for you and I to get overwhelmed and be riddled with worry and dread. Very easy. As a matter of fact, anxiety disorders have become the most common illness in the whole wide world. Anxiety, an illness, disorders. And a lot of those anxiety can be from genetics and brain chemistry and all kinds of stuff. But a lot of it is because of the negative and unhealthy thought patterns that are out there because of a very down world. Do you know that it is estimated that a person has anywhere from 25,000 to 50,000 thoughts a day? I think they say if you're a woman, you have about 50,000 thoughts. If you're a man, you have 25 and less. I don't know how true that is. I would tend to disagree with that. But there's a lot of thoughts. If your mind is negative and you are pulled down by a down world, that's a lot of dark thoughts. How many of you would agree with me? I like what Albert Einstein said. This is what he said. There are two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other is as though everything is a miracle. I like the better version. Which one do you choose? Is it possible to be up in a very down world? How would Jesus be living if he were present here today? You know, family, I believe that part and parcel of being a believer, a born-again Christian, involves you and I contributing positively to a very negative world. You and I are not just saved. Sadly, many Christians just live like that. They just saved, and they go into heaven, and all is well. But I'm here to tell you that all is not well. There is more to you than just being saved. Would you look at somebody and tell them, put your finger in their, not, don't poke their eyes out, but just point at them and say, there is more to you than just being saved. Come on, find somebody else and tell them there is more to you than just being saved. All right? Now let's get to another scripture, 2 Timothy 1 and 9, all right? This is a powerful passage of scripture. 2 Timothy 1 and 9, New King James Version says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Do you see there? What does it say? Who has what? Saved us. Is there a full stop after saved us? And then what? And called us with what type of a calling? A holy calling that's not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. I want you to say, saved, called, purpose, grace. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is that we're not just saved. We're saved. That's great. We're going to heaven. Praise God. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Awesome. But there's a step after salvation. God wants you and me to know that we are also called and that there is a holy calling upon your life, not according to your works. And in that holy calling, in that calling, you will find what your God-given purpose is. And when you find what your God-given purpose is, God's grace enables you. Grace, that's why I said the one time, grace is the great enabler. Grace enables you to do what God has called you to do. Grace enables me to stand up here on this platform and do what God has called me to do. Grace is the great enabler. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And when you understand this whole thing about being saved and finding my calling and finding my purpose, when I know what my purpose is, I know that I can make a difference in this world. Would you look at somebody and tell them, you can make a difference in this world? In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is that as a believer, we can be up in a down world and we can let our light shine in the midst of darkness. I don't know about you, but I want to be remembered for making a difference in this life. Can you say amen? When you think about the REAP vision that we have in this church, and if we can have that first slide, the REAP vision is simply a powerful vision. And if you can give me slide number 2, it tells us basically, the next slide tells us what the REAP vision is all about. The REAP vision in a nutshell, here it is reaping everything Jesus accomplished for the glory of God. In other words, I don't want to just reap salvation. I don't want to just reap healing. I want to reap everything that Jesus died on the cross for me. I want to reap deliverance. I want to reap blessing. I want to reap peace. I want to reap joy. I want to reap faith. Everything that Jesus did for me on the cross, amen, I believe that it is our right to reap everything so that when we walk in the manifestation of what Jesus did, God gets all the glory. Can you say amen? So how does this translate in the REAP vision? When we break up the word R, a REAP, the first letter is R. It's reach. Everything we do is geared to winning the lost at any cost. We want to make sure that people who have never heard about Jesus, people who have backslidden, we are believing that every single person comes to know God. There is an encounter with this God. And then once they know God, what's the next step? It's the E. We want to establish them. That's when we teach them the word and we ground them in the word. And when the word comes, the psalmist said, the entrance of your words brings light. When the word comes, how many of you know deliverance comes? God is able to set us free. And that's why we say establish. Another way of saying what establish is, it's finding freedom. Hallelujah. And then after the established, we now want to activate them. What does activate mean? Activate means we want to help people discover their purpose. You have some talents that I don't have, and I have some talents that you don't have, and that's what makes us unique. And in those talents, giftings, and abilities, we have a God-given purpose. And when we switch people on and they discover what their purpose is, the next letter is the P. We plant them. What does plant mean? Plant means now I connect to the vision. I connect to the church. I'm plugged in and I begin to make a difference. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We can make a difference. Would you look at somebody and tell them, you can make a difference? See, that's what we are here for. We are here to help people cross over the River Jordan and enter their land that flows with milk and honey. We may not always succeed, but we are going to aim high and we're going to give it our best shot. Now, I want you to take your cell phones, and the hashtag that I have for you today is this: give it your best shot. Hashtag, give it your best shot. When you do that, would you bump somebody and tell them, give it your best shot. Hashtag, give it your best shot. Come on. I want to encourage you this morning. Give it your best shot. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, give it your best shot. If you're a doctor, be the best doctor that you can be. If you're an accountant, be the best accountant that you can be. If you're a mechanic, be the best mechanic that you can be. Give it your best shot. Can you say amen? The beauty of the cross is that it is for all peoples in all parts of the world facing all kinds of situations and circumstances. And I've come to learn that the way that we respond to trials and testings and all kinds of things really reveals a great deal about our spiritual makeup and DNA, as well as the strength of our Christianity. Hallelujah. And we've had some things happen to us, but that doesn't deter us. Some people said to me, I don't know how it is that you can get up and keep on going. Well, these things make you strong. You know, when we open that dome in 2019, God willing, June 2019, we're going to have some stories to be able to tell people. Huh? Come on. And so these things happen, and it just makes us stronger. It just helps us to refocus. It helps us to just redefine what we are doing, and we go on. Hallelujah. If we deny our troubles, or if we give in to anger or bitterness, or maybe sometimes, you know, we want to blame others for our problems, I do believe that we will miss what God intends to teach us through what happens to us. Amen. So, again, the scripture that I gave you was 1 John 4:17. As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. If God is great in me, then it means that I will be great in this world. Hallelujah. If God is mighty in you, then it means that whatever circumstance you face in the mightiness of God. And it's impossible to be down when everything else is down. If the mightiness of God is in you, if God is alive on the inside of you, is he alive on the inside of you? Then it means that you're able to face every situation with the life of God, the Zoe of God. Hallelujah. If God is true on the inside of you, then you'll be able to face every situation with truth. If God is high and lifted up on the inside of you, then it don't matter what you face, because he will be high and lifted up on the inside of you, and it will be impossible to be down in a down world. Can you say amen? If God is victorious in you, then what does that mean? In this world, you will be victorious. It means that you can be up in a down world. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Now, I've got about 13 or 14 things practical that will help us, to teach us, how do we do this? How is it possible to be up in a down world? How can we be up in a down world? Can you give me some take home? Can you give me some practical things? And I'm going to just deal with one this morning. And the one that I want to deal with this morning, and I want everybody to pay attention, because I believe that it will assist you. I believe that it will encourage you. The one that I want to talk about is excellence and the spirit of excellence. Do you know that the spirit of excellence will always lift you up in a down world? And I'm going to show you in just a moment. Hallelujah. So when do you understand that you're not just saved, But now God has called you. It's a holy calling. And in that calling, you find what your purpose is. And in that purpose, God gives you the grace. He enables you to live out and manifest that purpose. Then we understand that excellence is part of God. Would you look at somebody and tell them, the spirit of excellence is part of God. It's actually part of God. When you excel, you are manifesting the very nature of God. Come on, I want you to hear me this morning. Because a lot of us, we settle for average or mediocre, or we allow what's out there to influence us. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to be mediocre. You do not have to settle for substandard or even standard. Why? Because when you operate in the spirit of excellence, you are actually manifesting the nature of God. Hallelujah. So let's look at Daniel. How many of you remember Daniel? Daniel. In Daniel 5, Daniel chapter 5, verse 12. Daniel 5 and verse 12. You can write the scripture down. Let's look at Daniel, because it says there in verse 12. Inasmuch as and what? Excellent. Say it again. One more time. That's right. One more time. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel. All right, that's the one verse. Then verse 14. Can we go to verse 14? Here it is. It says there, I have heard of you, Daniel, that the spirit of what? Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Can you see the correlation between excellence and God? When you operate in the spirit of excellence, you are actually manifesting the spirit of God. You're manifesting the nature of God. Now, I want you to look at Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3, because I said to you that excellence will lift you up in life. The spirit of excellence will lift you up in life. Daniel 6 and 3, then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Can you see how the spirit of excellence will lift you up in life? Daniel excelled, and because of that, he was far better than the satraps and governors. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at Solomon. Let me give you another example. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 30. All right, we're talking about Solomon. And I want you to see that he also operated in the spirit of excellence. And in verse 30, it says, thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and of all the wisdom of Egypt. Then in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 9, this is Solomon speaking, and it says, so I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Hallelujah. I want you to know this morning, blessed family of God, you were never called to be mediocre Christians. As a matter of fact, the cross does not translate to mediocrity. Let me say that one more time. What Jesus did on the cross, the blood that he shed, the life that he gave, does not equal mediocre Christianity. God the Father sent his best so that you and I could be our best. Jesus gave his all, so that we could live our all, that we could excel, that we could be the best at what God has called us to be. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. That's why I believe that God wants us to excel in every area of our lives. If you're married, I believe he wants that marriage to excel. Hallelujah. If you're a believer and you're walking with God, he wants that walk with him to excel. He wants that walk to be an excellent walk. If you're a mother, hallelujah, he wants you to be an excellent mother. He wants you to excel as a mother. Why do we settle for average or why do we allow what's happening out there to dictate what we will become? I'm here to tell you that that is the beauty of the cross and the work of the Spirit. Hallelujah. In other words, when we excel, like I said, we manifest the nature of God. Let me give you some scriptures. In Psalm 8, verse 1, the psalmist said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And then in verse 9 of Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Hallelujah. This is God speaking. Amen. And then in Psalm 16, verse 3, as for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Do you know that God delights when we excel? Hallelujah. When we operate in that spirit of excellence, because when we are excelling and we operate in that spirit of excellence and we do things well, hallelujah, we are revealing God to this world. I thank God for this ministry. I thank God for Pastor Fred and Sister Nell. If there's one thing that they taught us a whole lot of stuff. But if there's the one thing that we could isolate, it's to do things well. It's to do things with excellence. Hallelujah. Every time you operate in the spirit of excellence, you are manifesting the nature of God. And that excellence will lift you up. And you can and should be up in a down world. Can you say amen? You see, just like light excels over darkness, we excel when we manifest the ability to live up in a down world. Let's look at some more scriptures. You can write these down and meditate on them afterwards. Proverbs 12 and 4 says, an excellent wife. Hallelujah. And all the women of God said, amen. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. When the wife excels as a wife, you know what? The man gets the crown. I don't know why the woman doesn't get the crown, but the man gets the crown. Hallelujah. Sister Nell, I'll never forget her words. She said many words, but these are the ones, some of the famous words. If you want to know what a man is like, have a look at what his wife is like. Amen. So if you want to know what I'm like, look at what my wife is like. Praise God. But this is a scripture. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. But she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. Then Proverbs 22 and 20 says, have I not written to you excellent things of counsel and knowledge? Then what about verse 29? This is about our work. Do you see a man who excels in his work? 22, 29. That's right. He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. If God wants us to excel in our workplace. Hello? Come on. I know sometimes you don't like the boss that you're working for and the environment that you're in, but come on, God wants us to operate in the spirit of excellence. I believe that if we can conquer that work and we do it with a great attitude and we do it with the joy of the Lord that is your strength, that can be your stepping stone for the job that you're seeking God for and believing God for. Can you say amen? Amen. Even our speech is to be excellent. Here it is in Proverbs 8 and 6. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things. Hallelujah. So God is saying, listen, I'm not just worried about your vacation, your wife, your husband, your marriage, what it is. Even what you say has the power to lift you up, has the power for you to be up in a down world. Hallelujah. Proverbs 17 and 7. I'm giving you a lot of scriptures. Excellent speech is not becoming to a fool. So when your mouth is filled with excellent speech, hallelujah, it speaks volumes of you. When Luke writes to Theophilus in Luke chapter 1 and verse 3, he mentions him as most excellent Theophilus. I wonder why. Maybe it might have been because Theophilus operated in the spirit of excellence. And Luke writes and says, man, when I mention Brother Sam, oh, most excellent Sam, hallelujah. Oh, most excellent Pastor Danny, hallelujah. Can you say amen in this place? Praise God. What does Paul write? Paul writes, and he says in Philippians 1 and verse 9, beginning in verse 9, Philippians 1 and 9, he says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. And then verse 10, that you may approve the things that are mediocre, the things that are substandard, the things that are just nilly-willy, whatever happens, happens, just whatever. No, what does he say? That you may approve what? The things that are excellent. That you may approve what? The things that are excellent. Hallelujah. Let's look at Jesus. Jesus, in Hebrews 1, verse 4. Hebrews 1 and 4 says, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. Even Jesus' ministry was excellent. In chapter 8, verse 6, Hebrews 8 and 6, it says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry. Hallelujah. In other words, what the writer is saying is even our ministry should exude excellence, the spirit of excellence. Do you know that even your giving can manifest excellence? Oh, give me an example, Pastor. I'm glad you asked. I will. Hebrews 11 and 4 says, by faith, Abel offered to God what? A more excellent sacrifice. Even we can excel even in our giving. The spirit of excellence can be even in our giving. Hallelujah. Can you say praise God? In other words, the way that we do church should be excellent. And we're always tweaking and always looking to do improvements so that we can excel. But honestly, our attitude toward church should be one of excellence. Hallelujah. That when we come on Sunday to do church and to be the church, let's excel in that. If we're going to stand at the door and shake hands, let's excel in shaking hands. If we're going to usher people to their places, let's excel in doing that. If we're going to run with the children's church, let's excel in doing that. If we're going to sing and play instruments on the platform, let's excel in doing that. Can you say praise the Lord? And when it comes to building, we are going to excel when it comes to building as well. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you look at the 12 spies that were sent by Moses, and I want to just wrap up. How many of the 12 came back with a good report? Two. In other words, only two were prepared to live up in a down world. The rest of them imbibed the spirit of the circumstances and the surroundings. But two of them came back. And Joshua said, and Caleb said, you know what? Let's hit it now. Come on. We can do this thing, man. We can do this thing. Do you remember what they said about Caleb? As a matter of fact, in Numbers 14:24, this is what God speaks to Joshua about Caleb. He says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit. What kind of a spirit did he have? He had a spirit of excellence. He said, I am purposing to live up in a down world. Can you say amen? So how does excellence come? I'm going to just end up with this, giving you some practice. I believe that God wants us to be excellent in whatever we do. How many of you believe that this morning? Are there a few of you that believe that? How does excellence come? Let me tell you, excellence is actually a habit. And it is something that we all of us, I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your ethnicity is. I don't care what your surname is. I don't care if your father was a bank robber. All of us can attain to the spirit of excellence. Number one, you must desire it. If you don't desire to be excellent, you won't have it. So you're always looking for the shortcuts. You're always looking for half-baked, half-done things. But if you desire excellence, you won't settle for half-baked things or half-cooked things or half. And there's no shortcuts as well. Bump your neighbor and tell them, no shortcuts here. The second thing of how you can get excellence is look for clues for excellence. So see, look at something that is excellence. What does it smell like? What does it look like? What does it feel like? And work on those clues in trying to build that part of your life up in excellence. All right? Number three, also gain access to excellence. Like, for example, if you are watching a play and the play is great, how would you gain access to the excellence? Go backstage. See how it's done. Get to understand. Maybe there's people that excel out there that you can talk to them and go and see a little bit behind the scenes of what they do behind the scenes so that when you see it from the front, it looks excellent, but you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Gain access to excellence. Hallelujah. Number four, how else? Learn to demonstrate excellence at the level that you're at. Sometimes I think the reason why we don't want to excel is because we look at somebody and they're way up there. The only thing is they've been doing that for 30, 40 years, and your faith might not be at that level. So start at where your faith is. And don't be discouraged. You cannot compare yourself with somebody who's been running with excellence for 30, 40 years. Amen. And start with your level of faith. Start with where your resources are. Start with where your education is at. Start with where your background is at. Start with where your creativity is at. Start at where your know-how is. Start there and then build on that. Amen. The fifth thing, the last thing is, continually update your excellence. Continually update. Never be afraid to continually upgrade your excellence. In other words, you are committed to continually improving on your last level of excellence. Amen? And to excel means really to go above and beyond. How many of you are ready to go above and beyond? Five of you this morning. How many of you are ready to go above and beyond? How many of you are receive this as the word of the Lord coming to you today? Let me tell you, when your boss sees the spirit of excellence on you, they're going to separate you and give you the promotion. When that CEO guy, when he looks at you and there's a spirit of excellence, you will be sought after. And then you can say to them, let's discuss now my pay. You want me? How much you prepare to pay? But you can't do that, you can't say that if there is no excellence in your life. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Heavenly Father, we bless you, we honor you. We thank you today that it is possible to be up in a down world. And I thank you that, Lord, because of what Jesus is in heaven, so are we here today. We know that, Jesus, you're not sad, you're not depressed. You're not gloomy. You're not anxious. But as you are, so are we in this world. And Father, I know that it's impossible to make it in this world. It's impossible to live in this world without you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm here this morning to pray for you. You say, Pastor, great message, wonderful. I really needed this morning. But can I tell you the number one thing about living up, being up in a down world is it's Christ in us, the hope of all glory. It's Christ in me that gives me the hope. It's Christ in me that helps me to get up and face another day. It's Jesus on the inside of me. Now I'm here to tell you that he's a very real person who very really loves you. You say, but John, you don't know the mess that I'm in. You don't know some of the things that I've said and done. Well, the point is that God still loves you. And he's ready to embrace you, ready to forgive you, ready to accept you right now, today. I don't want you to leave this morning if you have no peace with God. With every head bowed right now, even across the campuses, Hillcrest and Phoenix and right here in Mayville, you say, Pastor, my life is not right. I need you to pray for me. I need Jesus in my life. If I'm going to make it in this world, if I'm going to be up in a down world, I'm going to need Jesus Christ. And today, I'm ready to pray for you. I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, I want you to lift up your hand right where you're at. And this is going to be a great moment. We're going to celebrate with you. If you're away from God, things have happened, and you say, Pastor, my life is not right, then I want to pray for you. Here we go. Get ready. One, two, here we go. Three. Lift your hand up right now, wherever you are. God bless you. Anybody else? Lift your hand. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? Quickly, lift your hand and say, would you pray for me? God bless you, ma'am. Those that have their hands uplifted, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. This is an awesome moment, an incredible moment. And those of you that right now, you lifted your hands, I want you to step up out of your seat, walk down the aisle, and come and stand with us in the front. There are others of you that would like to come. Just come in Jesus' name. Just follow them and come, come, come. Hallelujah. Come home. The Father is waiting. Come. Your sins.
Sins are forgotten.
There is room at the foot of the cross. Can everybody stand up to your feet? We're about to go right now. We're about to dismiss you. Those of you that are out there, I want everybody right now just to pray this prayer after me. Could you help them pray this prayer? Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you today in Jesus' name, just as I am, with all of my faults and all of my sin. Today I open my heart and I invite you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me unconditionally. I receive eternal life and the forgiveness of all of my sins. And from today, I'll never be the same. Thank you for living your life through my life. And that I can be up in a down world in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you in the front.